explored the land, and they went through this whole area, and it says the different areas where they were. And down to verse 23, two of them cut a single cluster of grapes and carried it on a pole between them. Like, that's got to be, like, how do you even eat one grape if they're that big? That it takes two people to carry one cluster. It would be like, this is crazy. They got some pomegranates and some figs, and they brought them back. And verse 25, at the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. Verse 26, they brought back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community. So that means everyone's gathered to hear their report at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses the first bite of a grape. No, they didn't. Doesn't say they. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land. So this is all 12 giving this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Mosquito-bites. They live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea. That's just a bad joke. Just slip it in, see if you're listening. If you don't know what I said, you weren't listening. The Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced. Now, listen, I want you to. So they give this report. It's an accurate report of what happened. They're answering the questions that Moses have asked them to respond to. But look at what happens in verse 30. It says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession. Now, what is the reaction of these people that Caleb has to silence them? So I think we got two options. They're either, when they're hearing the report, going, oh my goodness, this is going to be amazing, and they're just yelling and screaming, and everyone's going, shh, okay, quiet down, quiet down, quiet down. The other option is they're going, oh my goodness, giants, fortified cities, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And they're starting to go with that kind of theme. Which theme do you think it is? The woohoo or the uh-oh? It would appear that it's an uh-oh, because from here on in, everything's uh-oh. So Caleb, one of the 12, silenced the people, meaning they're already, as soon as they've heard the report, they're already, it would appear, getting agitated. He silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. That's a good leader right there, isn't it? And it says this, but the men who had gone up with him, 10 of them as it turns out, because Joshua sides with Caleb, we cannot attack these people. They are stronger than we are, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the lands that they had explored. So the report was actually an honest report. Giants, fortified cities, great soil, all those different kind of things, bountiful land. It is a land of milk and honey. It's all the things we were promised. It's all the things that are going to be good. And their report is, well, despite all those things, we're not supposed to be there. This is going to be too hard. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. And all the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. So this is a little bit of a challenge to each of us of when, so here's how I'm going to focus it. When the Lord, sorry, not the Lord, when there is a circumstance that comes your way that is a challenge and is maybe a report that you were not hoping to hear. I had a pastor friend of mine phone me today, and he found out today that the credit union that was going to be providing the mortgage for their building at 3 o'clock this afternoon decided that, or someone higher up in office in the ranking said, we're not able to do that. And so this pastor in St. Catharines is phoning me and saying, okay, who do you know that can maybe get us? Are there other banks that we can connect and da-da-da-da-da-da? So the good news is he has another couple weeks to get all that in place. But your first reaction when a bank phones you and says, you need to sit down and we need to talk, most of us are going, uh-oh. When a doctor, when we go in to have a report after having some tests and the doctor said, I'd like you to have a seat, we're going, uh-oh. When a wife or a child sits you down and says, we need to talk, everyone's going, uh-oh. And our normal response when we hear a report, most of us, is uh-oh. Would that be correct? And the sad thing is, we have not even let God have input into what he feels about the situation. And Caleb is a wise man, and as he's, this is my assumption again, is that the people are going, uh-oh, and Caleb silences them. He goes, shh, 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 quiet everyone. This is going to be easy. If God's with us, basically, we should go in. If God promised all these things and said it was going to be a land of milk and honey, and if he said he was going to be with us, then let's get going right now. And that's our challenge, is to live like Caleb and Joshua did and to see obstacles with the potential of God is going to help me with this, as opposed to, oh God, where are you? Does that make sense? And there's something about us that often tends to go to the uh-oh report rather than the, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but God's going to do a miracle. Like, that's one of the things we need to train ourselves in, isn't it? Is to, our first response should not be, doctor says, you have cancer. And we start crying. Our first response when those kind of words come, and I have not heard that report from me in my life, I don't ever want to hear that those words. But if it happens, and someone says something like that to me, it should be, oh, well, we'll get to see what kind of miracle God's going to do. Should we not? So here's the issue that these 10 spies are struggling with, is they saw the obstacles bigger than they saw God. And when they saw the obstacles bigger than their God, if you remember at the very end, it says, we look like grasshoppers. In whose eyes? In our own eyes, as well as in their eyes. So they're already feeling, we can't do this. And they're already beginning to believe the lies of the enemy, we can't do this. And it's like Moses hasn't even had a word yet. Moses hasn't had a chance to give any comment. Like, their leader's been preempted. The leader who hears from God is being preempted because people are believing a bad report very, very quickly. And can I just encourage you, when challenges come, let's begin to train ourselves to go, woohoo! I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Especially if you know what the will of God is. I've told you a number of times that Sandra and I have differing feelings when there's turbulence in an airplane. Sandra does not like turbulence. A couple times has affected me. Like if your plane bounces like 10, 20 feet all at once and everyone's going up and hitting the ceiling and coming back down, that you're getting a little shock. But generally, when there's turbulence, I'm fine. And especially if the airplane is not circling Toronto. Because I felt a number of years ago that the Lord said that my destiny is the city of Toronto, and that whenever the end of my days are, I'm going to die in Toronto. So as long as the turbulence is over Philadelphia, I'm good. As long, it's like, those things don't bother me. Why doesn't turbulence bother me? It's because I know nothing bad's going to happen over Philadelphia. So speaking of that, I don't know if I can't remember who I tell the stories to, but we were in Philadelphia once, and we're getting a connection back to Toronto from somewhere, and we're in Philadelphia. We get on the airplane, and Sandra and I have 1A, or not 1A, we had 1B and 1C, which means we both have the first aisles. And those are the best seats because you get to stretch your legs out and kick the flight attendants and all that kind of stuff. And you get to be first off the plane and all those different kind of things that are nice. And so we're up, and the flight attendant, I think there was maybe two people, it wasn't a big plane, and there's a guy at the front, there's a gal at the back, and she's come up to the front, and they're just starting to serve the tea, the coffee, the snacks, the pretzels or whatever they give you, and they have just gotten to us, and it starts to get rough as they're getting all the cart ready, and they've served row one, so I have my tomato juice and my pretzels, and Sandra's got Diet Coke or whatever she's drinking, and we're sitting there. No one's sitting in the other seats beside us. And it is so bad, the captain, there's a ding. The captain says, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to suspend the bar service until it's just a little bit better. And so we're the only ones with beverages. And it's like, woohoo. It's another reason to be in row one. So we're there, and it does start to get turbulent. And the flight attendant, he's asked, the captain says, flight attendants, please take your seat. So that just means it's going to get a little bumpier, because they generally, the way that airplanes know what's happening is there's thousands of airplanes in the air, and they've all, you know, passed everything, and so they're giving reports, and here's where the turbulence is, and at this altitude, and all that kind of stuff. So there's rarely things that happen in the air that the pilots aren't aware of, because someone else has already been there. Does that make sense? So flight attendants, please be seated. So this guy is one of the chairs that's looking straight at Sandra. Like, he's looking back at her. He's not looking forward. He's looking back at Sandra, and Sandra's looking at him, and I'm over there by myself, and I am drinking my tomato juice and playing Sudoku. And it is rough. It's bouncing. And the flight attendant, this is how bad it is, the flight attendant has the sick bag out. He's not gotten sick, but he's got it out. That's how turbulent it is. And at one point, like, they're looking at each other, you know, that kind of stuff. And maybe it wasn't like that, but I just, both of them look over at me, and I'm going, sip, and I'm playing my game. And he looks at me, and he goes, like, what's going on? And I said, I'm not going to die in Philadelphia. I'm going to die in Toronto. And he's going, okay, what does that mean? Well, see, here's what it means to me is, because I know something, I don't have to get upset. I don't have to worry. Does that make sense? I don't have to live by what the lies of Satan are, and to give fear and to stress and all that kind of stuff, because I know something that God spoke into me. And if God has promised you things, and you get a contrary report from a doctor, from a friend, from a bank, or wherever it is, why is it that our first response is to always believe the bad report? What we're believing is what Satan is saying, aren't we? That's what we're believing, is what Satan is saying. And we need to be training ourselves, even when we hear a bad report, to go, okay, Holy Spirit, I think I remember that a prophetic person, or I remember one time I was worshiping and I just felt in my spirit you said this. And I we just begin to do that. And even if we don't have those things, if you have no prophetic words over your life and you're wondering about turbulence in Philadelphia, you can still just train yourself and discipline yourself to go, Holy Spirit, what do I need to know right now? And if he says, don't worry, it's like, okay, we're not worrying then. Can I please have a refill? Right? So that's the challenge. And I don't need to remind you what the penalty for the 10 was. They died the next day. They died the next day together with a plague. I don't know what the plague was. It just said there was a plague and they died. And everyone who believed their bad report, who was over the age of 21, died over the next 40 years. And the penalty for believing a bad report was, for every day they were searching and discovering and seeing what God had for us that you didn't want to accept, you're going to spend a year in the desert. And it was like, instead of milk and honey, sand. That's what it was. And for every day they were there and you disbelieved, it's a year penalty. And everyone over 21, you're not going to see the promise. And you know the shocking thing was? There was God in chapter 14 says Caleb, because of his spirit, was going to be exempt from that. It says nothing about Joshua, but later on it says that Joshua was exempt as well. Do you know that Moses, as it turned out, was not even exempt? Because he never got in, did he? Now, his punishment wasn't for that. It was for something different. But it was like only two people, plus everyone under 21. And I guess the under 21s didn't have the vote in those days. And it was like a whole generation of people had to be weeded out, as it were, because of not trusting the promises of God and not choosing to believe that God was a good God. And God loves the challenges, doesn't he? Loves the challenges. So Sandra, have I set you up for prayer? Are you going into your stuff right now? Sorry? do I want to, I can do some ministry and then we go into your ministry. Okay. So I would like us, the three big things that we keep hitting all the time are health, finances, relationships. And you remember in John chapter 10, Jesus said, Satan comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Steal, finances, kill your body, destroy relationships. Those seem to be the big areas. And Jesus said in every single one of those, I came that you may have life. So that says to me that whenever there's problems in your health, Jesus came to give life. Whenever there's problems with finances, Jesus came to give life. Wherever there's problems in relationships, Jesus came to give life. And I know we pray about this all the time, but I'm sorry, friends, these seem to be the big deals in the scriptures. And if Jesus said these are the big ones, then we want to focus on the big ones. We can focus on the little ones, but let's focus on the big ones from time to time. So let's start with finances. So if you're in a place, now, if you have a mortgage, okay. But if you are in debt on your credit card way past your ability to pay back, if you have other kinds of debts, not talking about a car debt, not talking about a house debt that may or may not add equity into your life, but I'm talking about you are in a really hard place in your finances, can I get you to stand up? And we want to speak hope into you again. We want to speak God's promise. We want to speak that God's able, to do all those things. So if that's you, stand up. And we're going to have people stand for all three of these, and you're allowed to stand for any and all. So some of you may stand for all three, some of you may just stand for one. Some of you may stand for none. Okay. Great. Those of you that are around one of these people, and there are some people at the back, those of you standing at the back, if this is like Jan, I don't know if you're standing for debt. You are? Okay. So if anyone's standing, even at the back, some of you need to go out of your chair and go backwards, and some of you need to get out of your chair and go frontwards. So find someone who's standing, put your hand on their back, and if no one's come to you, put your hand up. So we need some people just to go and get these guys at the back. Put your hand up if no one's come to you yet. So friends, move around, find someone. If this is your first time to catch the fire, we are not an audience that watches what's going on. We're participants in the kingdom of God. One of the gals was already talking about that everyone gets to serve the Lord. Everyone gets to represent Jesus. So we're big into this. Okay. Everyone good? Everyone's got someone with them? Here's what I'd like you to do. If you are by one of these people, did someone come to you? Okay. Is there someone that can come for this gal right over here? Barbara, you get her. Good. I would like you, if you feel that you have a word from the Lord for these people beside you, I would like you just to give your best shot, just to quote a scripture verse or prophesy over them right now. So I'm going to give you 30 seconds. If the Lord's spoken to you for the person minister, or you're the minister, you're going to minister to them. If the Lord's given you a word, just give it to them right now. Just say, I just got this picture. I just felt the Holy Spirit say to remind you of this verse. So go. So if you have a word for this person, just go ahead and be bold and say, this is what I'm seeing. The worst that happens is they're wrong. The best that happens is they're right. And even if they're half right, that's still good. So Father, we bless these men and women that are standing right now. And Daddy, we're asking that you would make a way. We're asking that somehow the heavens would be open. We're asking for the goodness of God to come. We're asking for debts to just roll away. And friends, there are story after story after story in the scriptures purposely to talk about how God is able to do the supernatural. And I think you remember the story in the Old Testament of a group of lepers, and that the city that they're living in is being bombarded. And there's a siege going on. And because they're lepers, they're not even allowed to be in the city. And you remember they're outside the city and they're starving to death. And they say, you know what? There's no food in the city. We might as well go to the enemy's camp and just see if they'll give us one last meal before we die. Remember that story? And they head to the enemy's camp and find out that in the night, the Spirit of God has come and has put fear into the heart of this large army that is winning. and they somehow all believe that Israel is attacking. They've hired other nations to come, and they scatter and they leave everything. Everything. There's barbecues already still hot, food already on the tables, and these lepers have a feast, thinking they're going to die. And what do? Remember, they go into the city and they say, folks, there's food out here. Let's, come on out. And it was a struggle to convince people, because partly because they're lepers. And God's able to do those kind of things. Those stories are in the Bible to give you hope. Those stories are to say it is never too late. It is never too hard. God is able to do the impossible. Why would he be God if he can't do miracles? Who wants a God that can't do a miracle? Who wants to serve a God that can't do miracles? So, Father, we just bless you. We thank you that most people in this room have seen God provide, even if it's small little things, small little bills. And friends, the reason why you have small breakthroughs is to grow and to trust for bigger breakthroughs and bigger breakthroughs and bigger breakthroughs. And God can do it. God can do it. Thank you, Father. Okay, you may be seated. Those of you that are having any kind of relationship problem, so spouses, siblings, parents, children, bosses, in your workplace, with your neighbors, if you're having any kind of relationship fight, or you've lost a relationship and a best friend has just, they've written you off and they said, I don't ever want to talk to you again. If you've heard those kind of words, can I get you folks to stand up? If there's some real struggles in relationships, stand up. Okay, same drill, friends. Those of you seated, find someone who's standing right now. There's a few more people, so we need you to move around. Actually, all of you standing, put your hand up. And when someone comes, put your hand down. So, church, can you go and find someone who has their hand in the air? Just move around. Find someone. When you get to them, pull their hand down. There's a number of people at the back. We need some of the guys to go to the back and minister. We need like 5 or 6 people to come over here. There's some men and women over on this side. So jump out of your chair. Pull that person's hand down when they come to them. Are someone able to pray for this lady here, one of the people around here? Good. And we need a couple people still over here. Lady in the white top right here. And the lady in the gray sweatshirt just back over here. Are there some other folks that can come? Yep. Hand up real high if no one's with you yet. There's one lady, just one more gal to go. Okay, we got her covered. Good, someone's coming. Alrighty. Again, those of you ministering, ask the Holy Spirit for a word, for a verse, for a picture, and if you get something, just share it with your friend right now. And those of you at home, I don't know if anybody's with you right now. I don't know if anyone's right where you are to be able to pray for you, but if there is, just go ahead and you just join in exactly what we're doing, and we'll pray for you at home just in a moment here. Spirit of God, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. So again, if you have a picture or a scripture verse, just speak it over your friend. What does the Lord want to do in that relationship? What does the Lord want to do? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Those of you in your seats, let's pray. Let's just begin to, those of you seated, not ministering, just begin to pray for the person that you receive closest to you. Like, just begin to intercede and say, Father, do a miracle for them. Father, we're asking that relationships would be restored. And what Satan has stolen and has robbed and has destroyed, when Satan gets in between, and Satan always tries to make a one into a two. Remember, husband and wives, two people are supposed to become one. The Christian church is supposed to be one. It's supposed to be unity. And Satan comes to make ones into twos and twos into fours. Satan always comes to try to divide. He knows that if he divides, he gets to win. It's like lions and cheetahs, and when they're hunting animals, they try to get one peeled away from the rest of the herd. And if they can get one isolated, they're much more vulnerable for attack. And that's what the Lord tries to do, is to separate friendships, to separate relationships and families. And Father, we just say, we're asking for the hand of Satan to be lifted off of these men and women's lives. Lifted off right now. Those of you near these people, I'd like you just to sort of grab a chunk of their hair, like not hard grab, but just like put your hand on their head and just sort of figuratively pull off the hand of the enemy that's on top of their head. And we just rip his hand off. And Father, we're asking that the hand of the Lord, now put your hand on top of their head if you're by someone, figuratively representing the hand of the Lord with you. The hand of the Lord on you, covering you. Not the enemy's hand stealing and ripping you apart, but the hand of the Lord covering you, watching over you, protecting you. Father, we're asking for a great covering, a spiritual net over the men and the women. In the Old Testament, it talks about hedges, boundary lines that are there to protect us. And Father, we're asking for boundary lines to be around us. We're asking for the angels to be encamped around us. We're asking, Father, for spiritual protection. In the New Testament, Paul writes in Philippians 4, he talks about let the peace of God rule your heart and your mind. Like may the presence of God, the peace of God, may God's goodness be the umpire in your life, be the determining factor, be the ruling factor, be the one that helps you to think through logically and maybe illogically sometimes, but it may be the thoughts of God that rule and reign in your heart, which is your emotions and all the fears and all that kind of stuff, and in your mind. All the lies that come from Satan, all the whispers, we just cleanse your minds right now. We cleanse your hearts in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, you may be seated. Those of you that are struggling with any kind of sickness or disease, can I get you to stand up? If you're battling pain, you're battling a sickness, can I get you to stand up? Where are you folks? Hands up. Okay, keep your hand in the air. Those of you in your seats, can I get you again to gather around someone who has their hand up? This is audience participation here, friends. So can I encourage all of you, just get out of your chair, find someone who's standing with their hand up, gather around them, three or four people with each one is great. We need someone to come for this lady here. There's three ladies right over here. So some of you need to look behind you. Some of you need to look in front of you. And if someone's hand is up, when you're with them, you can put your hand down as soon as someone's with you. Put your hand down as soon as someone comes to you. There's a lady in red, I think, or a man in the red. I can't see, but at the very back over here, there's someone it's a lady in pink. Okay? Anyone else that has their hand up? No one's come to you yet? Here's what I'd like you to do. This time, the person who's struggling with pain and sickness, tell the people around you, what are you struggling with? Where's the pain? What's the sickness? What's the diagnosis? Just 10-second report. 10 seconds. Have arthritis, having stomach problems. Can't sleep at night. Whatever the issue is. Just share that with your friend. Okay, here's what I'd like you to do. Before you start ministering, I would like if you have a prophetic word or a picture, speak that over your friend first, just like we've been doing with the other ones. If the Lord's given you a scripture verse for this person, just quote that scripture and say, I felt the Holy Spirit say this. And just speak it. If you see a picture, if you see something in the spirit realm, just say that over them. If the Lord's given you a word of hope, just speak it over them. And then once you've done that, now you can begin to minister and say, sickness goes in Jesus' name. Healing comes in Jesus' name. Pain leaves in Jesus' name. Peace comes in Jesus' name. And begin to minister to them. Come, Holy Spirit. Welcome you, Jesus. Welcome you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Now begin to minister to that person and just go right at that sickness and pain. Command it to leave. Command it to be separated from them. Just like we're asking for debt to leave and we're asking for Satan's hand in terms of relationships, bad relationships to go. Ask for that sickness to just leave their body. Ask for curses to be broken. Ask for generational spirits that are involved in their lives to be broken. All the hand of the enemy and many, many stories in the Bible that Jesus came up against. One third of all the stories of Jesus in the scriptures, Jesus was up against demonic spirits that were bringing sickness. And these are called afflicting spirits. This has nothing to do with you being a nice person or a bad person. It just has to do with you being a believer. And because you're a believer in Jesus, and even non-Christians get sickness and pain obviously as well. And it's Satan is just a mean person, a mean spirit, and he comes at people and afflicts them. And again, it has nothing to do with whether you're a good or bad person. It has to do with the fact that you're alive and breathing. But the good news is the Holy Spirit is able to free us from every afflicting spirit. And so we speak that over you tonight, and we say, Spirit of God, come. For people in this room, for those of you at home, Father, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to come, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to land on every person in this room right now. And again, if you're sitting down and not ministering, just begin to pray for someone that catches your eye that's close by. Ask for the Holy Spirit to do miracles. Ask for healing to come right now. Ask for headaches to go. Ask for organ problems to go. Ask for pain to go. Ask for arthritis to go. Ask for all those things that are troubling, that are afflicting them, to lift off in Jesus' name. Spirit of God, come. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and be with us. Come and be with us.
And just get people that I would say to start from this side.
Yeah. Okay. Should I do it now?
Can I get you to check yourself right now? Give a report to the person ministering to you. If there's something that's tangible, that you can see that there's a difference, that there's a change. Can I just say that this room that we're in right now has had miracles all this week? Our school of ministry meet in this room. And Ivan and Isabel were here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to be teaching them on the prophetic. And Thursday and today, our school of ministry team, we're taking prayer ministry team training. They're learning how to minister. And so they're practicing different scenarios. And miracles were taking place yesterday and today. There was people being, there were some great healings that taking place. There was a girl that had pain in her leg, and one leg was shorter than the other one, and it grew out. There was just I just forgot all the list, but there was like 7 or 8 amazing healings that took place already in this room yesterday and today. So this room has the presence of God. God's doing stuff in this room. Okay. Can I get your attention, friends? This is always the fun part. Can I get hands up from anybody when we were praying for finances? Are you listening to me? If any of you sense the Lord speaking into your spirit, you sense something in your physical body, you sense something happening when your friends were ministering to you about finances, can I get you to put your hand up and say, I don't know what it was, but I just felt something. Okay? See some hands at the back? Over here? Good? At the front? Okay? How about from prayer number 2 when we're praying through relationships? Again, maybe it was just something in your spirit. You just felt the Holy Spirit say, I'm looking after it. It's going to be okay. How many of you would sense from prayer 2 that something happened good? Hands up. Okay? Over here, 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 here. Good. How about prayer number 3? Any of you feeling the presence of God, the peace of God, there's less pain, there's something good happening in your body from when we're praying about health? Hands up for that one. Okay? Over here at the back, over here, over here. Over here, good, couple people over there. It's good, isn't it, to get some feedback right away and say, God's doing stuff. Alrighty, can I get you to be seated for just another 30 seconds or so? My wife's going to...